We're going to start off in Revelation 18 and look at verse number 23 again. It says in the bottom of the verse, it says, "For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." So the thing is, we've been talking about spiritual deception, and what the thing is culminating into is how the whole world is deceived. Now, the devil is called the deceiver, but also the Bible says, how's everybody heat? Have we got the cooler on in here? I need to make sure. Let me check and see. Oh. It's cold? Uh-oh. All right, I'll just say it's on 73. I'll make sure. So if it's cold, I'll make sure we just leave it alone. So deception is what this thing is culminating to. The devil is a deceiver, and he's saying right here, they were deceived by thy sorceries. Now, sorceries means what it says. It says sorceries, and it means sorceries. So you've got a lot of people, and they'll try to make the Bible say something it don't say. When you hear these people say, "Well, it should be translated pharmakia," they don't know what they don't know Hebrew, and they don't know Greek. You trust what the Bible says, y'all. That's one thing here that I'm trying to each Sunday emphasize as much as I can. You trust the Bible over men. All men are sinners. There's not one person on this earth that's not a sinner. The Bible said, "For all means all, have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, I tell you that the Bible says the glory of God is the stars over there, or they declare the glory of God, but the glory of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know what? All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They come short of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who has never sinned. Everybody in the Bible worships Jesus Christ, contrary to what any religion says. Right. Now, is that Brother Chase's opinion? No, that's the Bible. Now, what we do is he's our standard, and the only way not to be deceived is go by the truth. And then, it even goes to tell you, rightly divided. Why? Because we got our chart over here, rightly dividing the word of truth, and we see that it says rightly dividing the truth, because truth for them in another dispensation is not the same truth you have today. We're not offering sacrifices today. Also, the Bible tells over in the law, it says if so-and-so does this, that, and other, you need to stone them. Well, we're not doing that today. We're not operating under the law system. So you have to divide truth from truth. Now, when you read the Bible and it says sorcerers, that has to do with magic and bewitchment and deception. Now, you know one of the biggest ways that you can be deceived today, the Bible says, and this moral truth goes over all dispensation, that the Bible says the your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God knows the heart. So if the devil can get you to go by your own flesh and your own thoughts, he can deceive you. So what does he do today? He's culminating to a deceptive plan. That's how it culminates. And I've got an article I wanted to share with you last time out of Charisma magazine. And Charisma, what's that? That's they say, well, we're of the charismatic movement. And they say we're gifted. Do you realize that a Christmas tree is fake and it's got gifts underneath it? And a lot of these people who boast about all these gifts they got, they're just as fake as that Christmas tree. And all these gifts that they talk about, you know what the best thing you do is give something to other people. The Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's one of the biggest things about as you grow up and you grow older in Christ, you get to the place where you'd rather see someone else get a gift. You'd rather see someone else do well. That's how you know these people talk about, well, growing, and they got all these little lists of things they'll say, well, so-and-so's growing. Do you like to see other people do well? Do you enjoy seeing other people get blessings? Well, if you don't, you've got a problem. That's immaturity. When you get to the place where somebody else does something well, and then that deep down in your heart you say, huh, can't believe they deserve, you know, they think they deserve this, that, and that. Y'all, it's good to see people do well. Now, your flesh will get in the way, and so you got this Charisma magazine, and this is what it does. It instructs on how someone can discern God's voice from Satan's voice in their thoughts and experiences. Well, right there, you got a problem. I spoke to a guy, and y'all, he's as nice as he can be. I enjoy, actually, his company because I visit him a pretty good bit. But he will not come to this church because he said, well, all y'all do is just go by the Bible all the time. He said, I listen to my inner voice. Man, you will tell your own self some crazy stuff.
That's right.
Now you listen to what this magazine says about God's voice and Satan's voice. So this magazine says this. You can look it up. It's right on their website. God's voice calms, comforts, convicts, encourages, enlightens, leads, reassures, steals. Well, my flesh says, "Wow, that just sounds so wonderful." See, that's your flesh. Now, listen to what it says Satan's voice does. Obsesses, worries, condemns, discourages, confuses, pushes, frightens, rushes. Now, when you listen to something like this, you think, man, that sounds right there because my flesh likes that. But then you have to check everything you look at with the Bible and say, okay, what's the Bible say about it? So, according to this magazine, this is what God's voice does, and we just read that. And all these descriptions are positive, invoke feelings of safety and peace. But notice that none of these descriptions require any doctrinal content, dispensational context, or divine revelation. So, without these things, this magazine article right here is extremely dangerous. And even satanic, because if you don't check it with the Bible, you don't know what the Bible says about it. So, here's something this article says. He says, did not the devil reassure Eve in the garden that she would not surely die? He reassured Eve. He's saying, hey, you're not going to die. Everything's going to be all right. You know what people make out like today? They make out like you're going to live forever, and it doesn't matter what you do in this life. And it does. The most important thing that you can do in this life is trust the gospel, the grace of God. Why? Because you're surely going to die. And she's too cute to be up here with me. Yeah, I look at her myself.
You're going to have to get her, Shiloh.
Okay, it says, and this is a good thing. Hey, baby, hey, did you see her waving to me? All right, you're going to have to get her, sweetheart. Oh, let me try it one more time.
There we go.
All right, so it says, you're going to see in your Bible, did he not promise to enlighten if she ate the forbidden fruit in Genesis 3:5? It is possible to be encouraged in an evil thing. I'm going to read this verse to you out of Psalm 64. You need to see some of these things because you have to check things by the Bible. One of these things about sorceries is it's deceptive because it counterfeits God, okay? Now, while you're turning there, if you wanted to anyway... When you get over there in the book of Exodus, Jannes and Jambres, they are sorcerers of Pharaoh. And you know what they're doing? They're counterfeiting things that Moses is doing. Moses is doing things authorized by God in that time. And Jannes and Jambres, the sorcerers of Moses, they're just basically counterfeiting that very thing. That Moses would throw down his rod, they throw down their rods, and they became serpents too. And even though God was able to overtake and overpower theirs, still the deception was there.
Right.
So people say, well, you know, if you got the Bible, as long as you got the Bible. I had one lady one time, she said, I was safe as long as I had a Bible in my house. So man, the devil quotes Scripture. The Bible itself, he don't care if you have 100 Bibles in your house, as long as you don't apply the Bible to your life.
Right.
That's the trouble. And so this verse right here in Psalm 64, verse number 5 says, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of lying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? Okay. People talk about encouraging yourself.
Well, do you encourage yourself like David said? David encouraged himself in the Lord over there in Samuel. Well, do you encourage yourself in an evil matter? So you got a lot of this preaching today, this prosperity preaching. Just speak these positive things in your life and just speak all... Have you ever heard some of these things that people say? As long as you speak positive things and I'm going to... Look, you can say that stuff all you want to, but if you're not living for the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, you can say positive things all you want to and it does not matter. Living positive and thinking positive is thinking according to the Word of God, because if I'm encouraging myself and I'm saying, oh, I'm going to think positive today and it's just going to, I'm going to make it be a wonderful thing. I'm going to speak this thing in my existence. And I go and I live for the devil that day. You know what's going to happen? I can think positive all I want to. And guess what? Lust bringeth forth sin and sin bringeth forth death. And sin will kill things in your life. That's what it does. Sin's a killer. Okay, here's another thing. Well, I already went over the thing about Matthew 4. Let me show you something in Jeremiah 23. I got so many notes today, I tell you what, I don't know if it's a good thing for me to have time off a little bit and have time to study or not. You're going to see this thing in Jeremiah 23. These false prophets were leading men in a vision to stay calm and be still. And they said, no evil shall come upon you. So, but what it was, they're wrong. So just because people's crying peace don't mean it's from God. Jeremiah 23, look at verse number 16. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. Here's another rabbit. Vanity. If everything's focusing on you and every sermon's about you know what that'll do? That will make you vain. You'll think everything's about you. That's why you're supposed to teach and preach the Bible, and let's see what the Bible says about it. Because if every single sermon I come up here and preach on something that involves you, you'll think, hey, the world's revolving around me. We're talking about me all the time. No, you see what the Bible has to say in applying that doctrine to your life. That brings you in a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you're walking with the Lord, you'll become more like Him and less like yourself. Amen. Just out of natural walking with Him. So it says this, to make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. You know, people say, I just got it on my heart to say so-and-so. And the Lord placed it on my heart, this, that, and the other. You better be careful. How do you know? Why, there would be Lord's many and God's many. For all I know, God of this world placed something on your heart. You know, people say, well, God placed it on my heart to give to so-and-so. Well, He didn't place it on your heart if you're giving to somebody who's not according to the Word of God. The God of this world done that. See, if something's on your heart, you have to check what's on your heart with the Bible to see who put it on your heart.
Right.
And the Bible said, well, it was in my heart to do so-and-so. The Bible said, the devil put in the heart of Judas Iscariot to deceive the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that comes into our heart and into our mind must be checked by the Bible, because you can't trust your heart. That's like, well, people say, well, give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes into your heart, we say heart like that, and makes you new. Why? Because you need Him living in and out and through you. We'd have nothing good to offer Him. What you do is you yield to Him and He lives His life in and through you. And that's how you offer something good to the Lord. See, we're being taught today, you have it in you, you've got good in you. It says, there's none good, Paul said, that is in my flesh. Romans 7:18, he said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Not a little bit of good, no good thing. So what do? We check our heart with the Word of God. And then let the Word of God, and live by the Word of God, and then you can offer something good to God. Because it's according to His Word. It says, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. See, they go by the heart instead of the Word. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. See, it's a peace preached. It's not the peace of God. That's why whenever they say, well, God's voice always calms, always comforts, and all these stuff. Look, There is a false calm. That's like lost people. I can't preach peace to lost people. Why? Because it's not good for them to have peace. If they lay down in their bed and they have peace of God, they could have the peace of God of this world in their heart. And guess what happens? If somebody don't tell them what happens to them after they die without Christ, you know what happens? They have a false peace preached to them, and they just lulled right on into hell. You know what this world needs to know? That sin bringeth forth death. You're born in this world a sinner, and the way that you get peace is through the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you trusted what He did for you and nothing you can do for yourself. The world is saying you can do something yourself. And you can't. You have nothing good to offer God. But see, we're being taught as a society. I know here we're not, but I'm just saying society has been taught you can do something. Okay? It says over here, they say unto everyone that walketh after, watch this, the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. You see how that thing calms? It encourages and enlightens. See, it's giving them enlightenment from their heart, but it's the false enlightenment. It's leading. But this magazine here said that's the voice of God. No, it's Satan's voice. Right. Satan's voice is calming, leading, reassuring. You're going to have peace. It steals. You're going to have peace. Nothing's going to happen. And guess what it says? They're imagining that thing. That's why we over and over, like if I ever get to it in the day sermon, you have to cast down imaginations. You know what? As far as you're concerned, whenever you trust the gospel of the grace of God, I can have these things knowing if I don't have another good day down here on earth, every single waking moment that I have in glory is going to be wonderful. That calms me. That reassures me. That right there steals me. Because here in this world here, look, if you've got a good day, that's a blessing, but you're not guaranteed that here. In the flesh, you're not guaranteed. That's why you have the strength of the Lord. The Lord can get you through things that you come to. But these things here, this is how this program right here has how the devil has been deceiving and how it's going to end up being deceived later on, because we're seeing a world right now that is obsessed with supernatural power. We're seeing things now. Look, on a weekly basis, I get either emailed are asked about UFOs on a weekly basis. People say, what do I think about UFOs? I don't care. Why? Because I couldn't care less about what Bigfoot and UFO does. Why? Because as long as I stay straight with God, what does it matter? People, you know, I get asked on probably a weekly or a monthly basis at least, what do I think? Do I think the earth is flat or round? I'm not going to argue with you about whether the earth is flat or round. The Bible said God sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and if that's not enough for you, if you want to think it's flat, how is that going to affect me or anything else anyway? You know what, people, I've learned this. If the devil can get you thinking about all this other stuff, you're not thinking about what really matters. See, it's a deception. See, they got all this power. And you know what, we're living in a world nowadays where people are so obsessed with power, 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 that's not the power of God spoken of in the Word of God. So you know what happened? It wouldn't surprise me a bit if somebody somehow said, hey, you know, whenever the catching away of the body of Christ happens one of these days, they said, well, aliens took them up. And you know what? This crazy world. Oh, I saw it on TikTok. I was talking to a gentleman the other day. And I was talking to him about this stuff, and he said, oh, Lord, I done. But anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and chase this rabbit. He said, man, let me tell you what's happened. He said, the earth really is flat. He said, but what it is, there's an ice wall over in Antarctica, and they got good oxygen over there. And they actually have better oxygen. So they go over there, and they get the good oxygen, and they come back and everything. I said, look, what does that even matter? Because you know what? Every time I started to talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ, he wouldn't talk to me about good oxygen on the other side of Antarctica. Look, I won't never know none of that stuff, no way. You know what that is? The devil can deceive people into thinking about all this other stuff. I can prove it to you. It happened to the Lord Jesus Christ over in John chapter 4. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling this lady who He is, and she said, yeah, but we worship in this other mountain and all this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you worship, you know not what. Right. You know what? She can't. If you notice, every time you go back and read that conversation, the Lord's trying to talk to her, and she tries to divert the subject a few times over there. You know what? That's what's going on today. If the devil can divert the subject on the things that we cannot prove anyway, You know, well, did we go to the moon? Did we not go to the moon? It don't matter. Why? Because you need to know what the Word of God says. Do you know that people, if I don't have the Bible, I've learned, you believe what you can prove with the Bible and this other stuff, let them argue about it. Well, there's so much stuff out there today just being fed into people's mind. And you know what this guy tells me? I said, how are you learning all this stuff? He said, man, you be... He said, you'd be surprised what you learn on TikTok. and you know what? People, I mean, I'm laughing, but y'all, that's what people, instead of reading the Bible, they think I'm crazy. Well, you just don't know. You got to get on there and try it sometime. Just get over there and look. You know what the issue was right here? They had their diviners, they had their soothsayers, they had their prognosticators and all that type of stuff. And the Bible talks about things that peep and mutter and stuff like that. You know what it is today? It's the same thing. It's just a different means. All they have to replace the Bible and all these soothers, these prognosticators, are these TikTokers. I took a screenshot of something I've been trying to go through I keep different pictures of screenshots of stuff that I see. Because I'm like y'all, I listen to stuff on YouTube, but sometimes crazy stuff will come up in your feed. And so anyway, here's one I took a while back for y'all. Because I said, I can't wait till this gets here and don't happen. But it says, why the end, the world will end on September 23rd, 2023. You heard it here first. Hey, look at this, Brother Mike. Look, it says, look right there. It says, you heard it here first. Look at it. That's two witnesses I showed you that. And look, I took that a long time ago. You know why? Because I knew September 23rd was going to come and it was going to go and we're still going to be here. Now, how did I know that? Not out of my own imagination. I knew that because I've been reading the Bible and I know according to the Word of God how the world ends. The world does not end by cataclysms predicted by false prognosticators on YouTube and Instagram and Snapchat and any other thing, Facebook or whatever, through the feeds. The world ends how the Word of God says it ends. Now look, there are conspiracies out there. I'll tell you, there really are things that go on. But you know what? That stuff I can't prove. My position as a preacher is to let you figure all that other stuff out on yourself. We're supposed to give you the Word of God and say, this is what the Word of God says, and you judge anything else you believe by the Word of God. Why? Because there's crazy stuff out there. I mean, I believe that. But you cannot judge of what's coming out of your own heart and say, you know, that just sounds right to me. You know, it's like the gentleman I was talking to, he said, well, my spirit just bears witness to that. You got a human spirit that'll bear witness to anything that you want to believe.
Amen.
And if the Holy Spirit don't bear witness to it, it's not true. And the Holy Spirit only bears witness to what agrees with His Word.
That's right.
Now, you go through these things right here and people, they have a false way. In Jeremiah 23:16, you're going to see that God told Israel to give no heed to those who speak out of the imagination of their own heart. So you've got things, according to that magazine, it says Satan's voice, his voice obsesses, worries, condemns, discourages, confuses, pushes, frightens, and rushes. So they say all these things right here, these descriptions, are negative and invoke feelings of inadequacy and force change. So I want to give you a couple of these things. What if the Lord? What if it is the Lord that discourages you from doing something? Shouldn't you listen? If the Lord's telling you not to do something, you better listen. Listen to this right here. Moses discouraged the children of Israel from going into the promised land at one point because, this is quotes from Numbers 14:41-42, the Lord is not among you and it shall not prosper. Well, guess what? The people who wouldn't be discouraged, who wouldn't listen to that discouraged, they died in the wilderness. The Lord is not always going to encourage you because there should be some things that you are discouraged from doing. There are things in this world that if it goes against God's Word and God's plan for you, then you should take discouragement and say, I shouldn't do that. Look, man, I'm just using this for a practical application. I used to be a personal trainer. It used to be years and years ago. And I deal with some of these athletes, and some people have better genetic ability than other people. And what would happen with some of these guys would get there and they say, Well, they set an unrealistic goal, and they say, I want to be able to deadlift 575 by an 8. I say, you can't do it by then. I'm discouraging this guy. I said, now, you may be able to get 500 by such and such a date, because I'm sitting here going, you can gain so much, this, that, and other, per week and then per month and things like that. And I said, if you go too far, too fast, you're going to hurt your back. You know what they do? Oh, now, oh, Chase is kind of, he's discouraged. You know, he's one of those discouragers. And you know what happened? They get in there and they push it too far, and they'd hurt their back, and then they couldn't deadlift anything. Now, what, you know what I'm saying? You know what people do? They push themselves beyond God's Word.
That's right.
And say, no, I've got this. And if God's Word says you don't, and He's saying you need to take time and let things play, have a process of time and do things slowly, it'll be done correctly. You have a right foundation and you'll be able to handle it.
Right.
God builds a foundation on things.
Yes,
that's like learning the Word of God. We're not going to learn all this Word of God all in one Sunday, all in one Sunday morning. It takes time, and you have to grow slowly in the Lord, just like in physical life. Things take time. Okay, so you know what that is? The devil will rush you. And he'll get in there and say, well, you need to do all this, that, and other, and don't let anybody discourage you. Well, if somebody's giving you good biblical sound advice, you better make sure you take the time. You know what happens with churches? I've been preaching long enough now to see, instead of these pastors getting there and waiting things out and letting things build up slowly and right, something will happen. They say, well, nobody's come. Well, we only had so-and-so there, and you know what happened? They'll give it about 2 years, and 2 years ain't no time. Why? We're only spending a few hours a week together. And they won't let the thing, and they get discouraged. And you know, if the devil can get you discouraged, he gets you out of here.
Yes.
You know what you're going to find out in life? Things take time.
Yes, okay.
You better take God's discouragement when He says, don't do it the earthly, fast way. It takes time. It takes time. Here's another thing I want you to see. In the Bible, God pushes. Okay? This is a strange thing. Deuteronomy, I'll turn to some of these fast that I chased too many rabbits. Deuteronomy 33. See, I'm trying to improve as a teacher, man. I see them pop up everywhere. They just like Bugs Bunny, man. Deuteronomy 33 verse 17 says, they sacrifice unto devils, not to God. No, I don't know, that's 32. That didn't sound right. Yeah, and Deuteronomy 33 verse 17, His glory is like the firstling of His bullock, and His horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them He shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Well, they say, well, God's voice don't push. According to the Word of God, He pushes. Watch this. They say, well, God never confuses. Well, we know the devil's author of confusion, but God confuses. Look at Genesis 11. If you want to, I'll turn there quickly. Genesis 11 and verse number 7. The Bible says, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. He goes up there and he confuses the language there and confounds the language so they couldn't understand each other. Why? For their good. They were getting together. They were building a top that may reach unto heaven. You know what? They were trying to get to heaven without God. You know what the world is today? They're trying to get to heaven without God. You know what they're doing? Instead of staying separated, you know what's happening with all this internet and everything? It's making the world smaller and smaller and smaller. And you know what's going on? They are going against what God did right here and getting together. And you know what's happening? Instead of the gospel being able to go out in a good way, it's going out in a bad way. Why? Because those boundaries are set, according to Acts 17, so that men may seek the Lord. It's not a good thing for us to have all this false knowledge that we have, because they're tapping into the devil. The devil was sitting on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He wants you to know things you shouldn't know. People know too much today. There's the average 15-year-old today has come into more information than 50-year-olds did back before this information age started. You know what? They can't handle that. And the devil knows, you know what it does? He confuses them in a bad way, because they've had all this stuff poured in. And the only way to keep them straight is keep them on the path of the Word of God, because there's too many paths out there. It's just too many. What did one preacher say? This world getting killed on the information superhighway. You know what that is? That's just too much for people to know. And they say, well, God, they say God's voice is this, and the devil, they don't even know what the voice of God is according to the Word of God. Okay, his voice condemns. Here's another one, Isaiah 54, verse number 17. He does condemn. Isaiah 54, verse number 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the saints, of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. We need to condemn what God condemns. You know, they say, well, Satan don't condemn anything. Well, God condemns things. He will condemn people and consign people to hell that don't trust His Son. Why? Because His Son done the work on the cross. The Bible said He wants all men to be saved. This is how much He wants men to be saved. You know what that Bible says about hell? It says the Lord created hell for the devil and his angels. Anybody that goes there an intruder anyway, because God didn't want anybody to go there. Don't you ever think that God wanted people to go to hell. He made it so simple a child can understand salvation and people just stumble over it. That's why it's called the gospel of the grace of God. We're preaching something so simple that people literally think it couldn't be that simple. I've got to do something. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves. You know what? By the washing of the water? No, by the washing of regeneration. Regeneration washes you. When you are regenerated, that is that you've got a new set of genes. What? You've got the DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ now. A whole new set. He calls you a new creature, and that washes you. You're not of anything you can do. The best thing we can do is realize we can't do it without the Lord Jesus Christ. See, He condemned. Here's another thing I know. All right. And frightens and striking fear into men's hearts. Matthew 10, 28. I know I'm bad running out of time. But maybe we get some of this and it'll kind of tie into today's lesson. Matthew 10, verse number 28. The Lord Jesus... I don't have a red letter Bible. Some people that have red letter Bibles, you can have one if you want to, but all the letters should be in red. It's all the Word of God. But the Lord Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I believe that right there, it could be striking fear into men's hearts. They say, well, only the devil will do that. God does that, but it's only the right thing. See, the Bible says you're saved. You don't have the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You serve the Lord with fear and trembling, but that is a fear placed on the fact that, hey, I'm already saved. I want the Lord to be able to work in and through me, because if I don't allow that, I'm doing it my own self. That should scare you to do something your own self. But you know what he's saying? Lost people should fear the fact that their body and soul could go to hell where the worm dies not. Now, you know what's going on today? That stuff's not being preached today. And you don't hardly hear hell anymore. Right. And then a lot of times when people preach it, you get preachers preaching, they don't preach it from the right standpoint. You should preach on hell the way the Lord Jesus Christ does, from the motive of love. It's not like you're going to get up here and say, well, you're going to fry like bacon and all that stuff. No, man. You want to see people, you want to see them trust the gospel. It's not that you're making fun of people, but at the same time, it should scare somebody who hadn't trusted the gospel that if the Word of God is never going to fail, you know it's true, it's never been proven wrong, and if God said that, then it's so. Now, you know what people are going to do? They're either going to go to heaven or hell. It's no intermediate. There's no verse in there that says, well, you go somewhere and they're going to pray you out, this, that, and that. That is not in the Bible. You won't find one verse in it. Look, I've read that Bible at least a few times, and you won't find it there. I had one guy, he said, look, I think me and Titus was, anyway, me and him, we have a lot of same experiences. We witnessed to folks and stuff. And this one guy said he was going to wait and let his grandma pray him out. What's going to happen if your grandma dies, though? See, you got people who get these ideas, and what I'm trying to tell y'all is, if you don't go by the Word of God, you're going to be deceived. And that, how does he get them deceived over what we read back in Revelation? If he can get you to go by your thoughts, your emotion, your sight, he can get you.
Yeah.
And that'll tie into today's lesson. I know I went over, but thank the Lord for the Word of God.